This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you all doing? الحمد لله. Night number 5. And subhanAllah, this is you could say almost half of that first 10 days of Ramadan is almost done and dusted. And subhanAllah, how much have we made? Have we done enough in these 10 days of mercy? May Allah subhanAllah grant us the strength to continue and throughout the month get the full benefit. Ameen. Before I begin, just a short announcement. Our brother Abdullah from Saudi, all the way from Saudi, he was leading Taraweeh with us. He is fortunate that he'll be going back to Saudi to spend the rest of Ramadan in the Holy Land. And we'd like to, as a small token of our appreciation for leading us in Salah, just a little gift, Brother Abdullah. We hope that he will return soon. We said that, yes, obviously the Holy Lands are the best places to be during Ramadan, but I think Cape Town is a close second, inshallah. And we hope to see him soon again. Ameen. Keep us in the du'as, and we wish him all the best, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. We continue with our tafsir of the last few surahs of Juz Amma. And last night's surah, Surah Al-Shams, is very closely linked to tonight's surah, Surah Al-Layl, the chapter of the night, chapter number 92. And just some themes, not to go too much into detail, as to what we discussed last night. Allah introduced, and the central theme of Surah Al-Shams is that you and I are consisted of this thing called a nafs, which is balanced. And successful, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. That successful is the one who purifies his nafs, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And the failure, the loser, is the one who ignores his nafs, buries his nafs, doesn't listen to that conscience that Allah has built in him, and he is lost through that. Allah left it like that. And then Allah, we said, mentioned a people who went against their nafs, and Allah destroyed them because of their sin. And Allah says he's not afraid to level out the playing field when injustice prevails. So based on that, this surah will give further detail as to the nafs and how to purify it. And in fact, these two surahs, you could say, are couplets. They come together and they follow a similar theme and flow. Allah begins the surah once again with those vows, those qasams, as we said. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. By the night as it covers. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. And by the day when it appears or in its radiance. Interesting point here. The first verse, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى, is in present tense. As the night continues to cover, whereas the day is already in, Allah uses the past tense, it's already in its brightness in the past. And the ulama ask, why does Allah use that? And in Surah Al-Shams, we said the sun was synonymous with guidance and goodness. And the theme continues here, that the night, not that the night is evil, but in this context, it's as if the darkness and kufr and misguidance creeps up slowly, slowly, slowly until it envelops completely. Whereas guidance, when it comes, it completely wipes out the misguidance. Meaning, we should watch how misguidance slowly creeps in. Then Allah continues another vow. وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. And by Him who created both male and female. So far, all these things are vows. Interesting, in the last surah, if you draw parallel to the last surah, when Allah went from speaking about the day and the night and the sun and the moon, Allah then spoke about the heaven and the earth. And the parallel between male and female is very similar to heavens and the earth, that the sky impregnates the earth and from there vegetation and life grows. That together there is balance. And similarly Allah is saying here that the male and the female, all of us come from one origin. So we said that when Allah gives these vows, these qasams, I swear, I swear, I swear, Allah is going to give something important afterwards. And then the central ayah we could say about the surah is Allah says, إِنَّ سَأْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. Verily indeed your efforts, your pursuits are different. Allah also shifts the dialogue from being a third person, the night, the sky, the night and the day, the male and the female, to you. Your pursuits are different. All of you here, some of you on one direction and the others on a different direction. Inna sa'yakum lashatta. You have come from one origin, but your pursuits and your destinations will be different. Now Allah goes into further discuss, what are these two pursuits? What are these different paths that we take? And you remember the nafs, we see they can go either way. So Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. As for the person that gives and has taqwa, protects and fears, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, and he believes in the best. سَنُيَسِّرُهُ فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Then we will facilitate for him ease. So Allah says, the person who gives, not a'ta, isn't just for money. It is he gives of himself, his time. He gives of the things he loves. And he has taqwa, and he believes in that which is best. Best could mean the Quran. It could mean the akhirah. It could mean he invests his time and his money, believing the return will be the best. Then Allah says, we will make easy for him that which is easy. So we pause with these ayah quickly. Allah first says, the one who spends and has taqwa. Usually you would think the one who has taqwa spends. Allah showing the opposite. That if you spend, you will get taqwa. That you might not have taqwa, just give and give, and eventually you will attain taqwa. And then you will believe fully in al-husna. As we said, the best could mean the Jannah, and it could mean the Quran. And if you do that, Allah says, if you do these things, you spend and give of yourself, and you attain taqwa, and you believe truly in the best, then we will make easy for you the road to what is easy. Ease could mean the Jannah. So Allah shows you this is how qada and qadar works. You make a choice, and Allah will make easy for you that choice into goodness. Meaning Allah will make Jannah easy for you. It also means Allah will make ibadah and further doing good more and more easy for you. So Allah says your paths are different. This is the one path you could take, where you spend, attain taqwa, and Allah will make easy for you. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. But as for the one who is bakhil, who is stingy, who hoards and keeps his wealth and withholds, وَاسْتَغْنَى, and he thinks himself free of need, he feels that he is independent and he's in control and this wealth is mine, وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى, and through that he denies that which is best, he's denying Jannah, he's denying the Quran, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. This is a very scary punishment, Allah is saying. He will make easy for him difficulty. Meaning, one, he will make easy for such a person the path to Jahannam. So Allah will put things in his way where it's easier and easier for him to commit sin. Another interpretation is that Allah will make easy for him hardship in the dunya. That Allah will send calamity on him, sadness on him, that the things he spends on will ultimately bring him hardship in the future. He spends on his kids, and his kids will be the cause of his misery in the future. He spends on his businesses and himself, and that will be the cause of his heartache, the difficulty in the future. وَمَا, then Allah says, وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى. And even if the dunya, he doesn't see the outcome of being stingy, Allah says, what will benefit him, that wealth, when he is in his grave? The person who spends and the person withholds, both will come to the janazah, and both will enter that same qabr. Whether you give or don't give, you're going to end up at the same point. So Allah says, what's the point? And what's going to save you? What's going to help you when you go to the qabr? Your wealth is not going to benefit you at all. Allah says, so now we know these two paths. So Allah says, inna alayna lal huda, that upon us, compulsory on us, is the guidance for everyone, that we guide everyone. وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى, and to us belongs the end and the beginning. The wealth that you give and don't give is going to come back to Allah in any case. You came into the dunya with nothing, you're going to leave the dunya with nothing. So it belongs to Allah, the end and the beginning. It's up to you. Now all of that I said was third person. Now imagine a narrator talking about the story. Right? He's talking about something and then he looks to you and points to you. So Allah now turns back to us and he says, فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى, I warn you about a fire that is raging and is sparking and is angry. Allah also changed the tense, or Allah changed from we to I. I am warning you, O Muhammad. I am warning you, O Salih, about the fire that is screaming and raging. لَا يَصْلَاهَا إِلَّا الْأَشْقَى, none will get to it. That this fire will not reach anyone except the ashqa. Remember last night we said about the ashqa? Who was the ashqa in last night? We said shaqawa is to be miserable and wretched and unhappy. Who was the shaqi, the one who was ashqa in last night's surah for a prize? He was from Thamud, yes, the one who killed the camel, right? Allah says, idhim ba'atha ashqaha, when the most wretched person of Thamud, he went and killed the camel. So Allah says, none will reach this fire, illa al-ashqa, except the miserable, wretched one, alladhi kadhaba wa tawalla, who belies and turns away. Now there's an interesting parallel here. The ashqa, the wretched one, in Surah al-Shams, what did he do to the camel? Did he go towards it or away from it? He was supposed to stay away, but he went to it. Idhim ba'atha, he went to it and he went against it. Allah says, the ashqa, the shaqi now for us, is the one who turns away. So our sign is not a camel. It's not a sea opening. Our sign is what? The Quran. So the miserable, wretched one is the one who turns away from the Quran. It's equal. When you turn away and ignore the Quran and don't look at it, it's like that guy who killed the camel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same attitude. So Allah says, none will enter this fire except the ashqa, the one who belies and turns away from the Quran. وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى, and we will avoid and avert this fire from the atqa, the most pious one. And who is this person? الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى, the one who spends his money and purifies. It doesn't say that the money purifies him. It says Allah will purify him. So again, it shows you that when you spend, we call that usually when we spend, we call it zakah. And people will say zakah, tazakah means to purify. Remember in Surah Al-Shams, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, successful is the one who purifies his nafs. Allah is showing you, yeah, how do I purify my nafs, ya Allah? The one who spends his money, gives his money. And it's not your money that you're purifying, it's yourself. Every time you spend, your nafs is being washed and cleansed. Allah is saying, not spending his money and then he'll be purified, he is immediately being purified as he spends of his wealth. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا بَتِغَاءَ وَجَهِ رَبِّ الْأَعْلَى. Allah is showing you now how to spend. He doesn't spend hoping to receive a favor or to repay a favor. He only does so to seek the face of Allah. What do we mean by seek the face of Allah? That he spends this money hoping that one day I will see Allah. It's like you're buying a ticket. A ticket for what? To see Allah one day. That's what you are spending on. وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. And Allah ends the surah amazingly. He says, and he's going to be satisfied. Allah spoke about the akhirah. You spend and you get in return, you see Allah. But in the dunya, you will be happy. Allah says, if you give and give of yourself, it will purify you and it will bring you happiness in the dunya. But if you withhold and you are stingy, it will give you misery in the dunya and the punishment of the fire in the akhirah. So Allah is giving us a guidance of how to purify our nafs. And the route to happiness is to give and share your blessings in the dunya. Share things with people. And we can feel it in Ramadan when we give and we share and people sit at our table and we put what Allah says, not a lot, give a little bit. It will bring you happiness. It will bring you contentment. It will take you out of misery and wretchedness in the dunya and in the akhirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in ourselves. Allah purify our nufus, ourselves, our hearts. And may Allah put barakah in our wealth and grant us the ability to spend in that which is best so that we may see Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. Tomorrow we continue with our series in Surah Al-Duha. And we have last night's question, the quiz, as we hand out the cards. Last night the question was, what is the number of Surah Al-Shams? Which surah number is it? It's Surah 91, the sun. Right, Surah of the Sun. Are we ready for our quiz tonight? No cards for the sisters. We'll go, we'll do the question and then inshallah we can get the answer. So tonight's question, zakah, tazakah, literally, what does it come from? Does it mean to be successful? Does it mean to increase in money? Does it mean to give charity? Or does it mean to purify? Literally the word zakah, where does it come from? To be successful, to have more money, to increase in money, to give more charity, or to purify? Where does the word zakah or tazakah come from? Insha'Allah. You circle the answer, write your name, and insha'Allah, hand it in, and there won't be a prize at the end of the week, insha'Allah. Jazakallah khair, wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.